wake up. I don't wanna wake up.
Hello, you're very welcome to the first ever podcast here. I'm Mitch Kincannon, your host tonight, and I'm joined with some special guests, and this is the shortandsweet.com podcast, bringing it to you here. We've got Linda here with us. How are you doing, Linda?
Good.
Linda, how are you doing today?
Very well.
you're here ready to talk about E3 and what's coming and everything that's going to be next gen and old gen and some of the same and something different, yeah?
Yes.
Cool beans. And then we got my man, Tron. How are you doing, dude?
Doing good, man. Just excited to be here. Obviously, E3 just wrapped up, man, and just excited to be on the first podcast with shortandsweetreviews.com, making it happen, man.
That's great stuff, man. Cool. And I'm glad to be here, too. And we're also joined by Samuel. How are you doing, Samuel?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling good. I'm excited, and I'm happy about all the things I heard at E3, and it's going to be a good few years, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Bring back them gaming systems. That's what we're talking about. All right, guys, let's just get into it. We're going to be here, and we're going to be talking about E3. We're going to mention our press conferences, and we're going to mention what games are looking forward to this year and next year. And hopefully we're going to see some new next-gen consoles next year, and it's looking pretty good. So how about we just start off with what was shown with Microsoft? Tron, what did you think of Microsoft's conference? Like, what do you think their heavy hitters were, and what do you think their biggest misses were?
Oh, man. I got a chance to see Microsoft's conference. Obviously, I mean, without a doubt, everyone knows Halo franchise, the biggest thing Microsoft has going for them. So I saw the gameplay. Obviously, there's a new developer taking over, starting a new trilogy, if you want to call it, a new telling of the story of Master Chief. And the game looked as expected. I wouldn't say it blew me away to any effect, but at the same time, I'm not the biggest Halo fan. I played Halo before, good game, but I'm sure to those that are just big Halo fans that follow the series and love the series, buys every game, I'm sure they were pretty excited about what they saw. So for them, that was big to get that first gameplay, the first look at, you know, the new Halo, a new developer, you know, taking over the franchise. Sometimes that doesn't, you have to be careful with that, because some of your true fans, your hardcore fans of a series, they're like, I don't want a new developer coming in and messing up what I know and what I love about a series.
Yeah.
So obviously that was the biggest thing for them. To show that off. You know, there's a lot of people that they look to Microsoft and Microsoft controller as maybe the best setup for traditional first-person shooter. So showing off Black Ops and things like that was, you know, obviously something that they needed to do. And they showed off the new Splinter Cell, which actually looked amazing.
That looked awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. I never played any of the Splinter Cell games, but like when I seen that trailer, I didn't know what it was at first, and then I was like, "Whoa, is this a new Metal Gear Solid or something?" And it's the game Metal Gear. This is the game Metal Gear Solid should have been from the start. This game.
Did you guys see? Did you guys see the integration they used with the Kinect with Splinter Cell?
Hey, I did see you.
That was really cool. Like I've been following the Kinect project since it was called Mattel, and that's just one of my favorite things about what Microsoft's doing right now is the advancement in gaming that they're trying to do, and it's showing, putting that thing with Splinter Cell shows that it's not just for like, you know, the little casual games you jump around or whatever,
dancing
and all that kind of stuff. It shows it's applying it to the games that they're hardcore gamers, they're bro gamers, as I like to call them, will be more interested in playing.
Now I want a Godzilla Kinect game. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to get controversial, though, about the Kinect. And my main point is that Hey You thing won me over straight away. But straight after that, I was thinking, okay, it was voice recognition. A microphone could do that. Why do I need this thing that's got little bulbs looking at me, waiting for me to wave my arms? A lot of the Kinect stuff that was shown was all voice recognition. Like the FIFA thing was very cool, where if you want to swap out for a substitution, you'd mention the substitute's name and he would come on instead of having to press start all the time. Like Kinect is doing some things right, but it's not showing enough of what's doing wrong.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Halo Waypoint allow you to do that with the headset? Like, you used to put on the headset that was attached to the controller, you were able to command the RTS, the Halo RTS, with the headset on. You're able to say what to do, and it would already do that prior to the Kinect being released.
I think right now they're mostly just testing the waters to see if this does bring in more of that market, because right now the people who are buying Kinect aren't the bro gamers or the people who bought Wii's. And then they're like, oh, well, this family happens to have a 16-year-old son who has an Xbox. Well, let's get a Kinect so the rest of the family can play these little casual games.
Right.
And this might get the 16-year-old to also want to play as well, but this way he can play it with his games too. So this way they can test it whether or not that market likes it first before they really put too many innovative things that would actually involve you more in the games.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. I think that, obviously, you know, they were working on new hardware. We're going to see the next Xbox, you know, maybe 2 years at max. So, you know, is this going to be a big enough platform for us to build the next Xbox around? You know, that's a lot of rumors saying the new Xbox is going to pretty much have Kinect 2.0, you know, the next leap or the next step in Kinect. So it's like, okay, how can we integrate this? You know, let's look at the market, you know, not just the casual, but can we get the shooters, the people that play shooters online and things like that, you know, into this Kinect? So, hey, can we put this in our next console and build our next console around it? You know, so like I said, I think Microsoft, they did enough. A lot of people said their conference was bad, but in my opinion, they kind of stayed easy. They know who their fan base is. They did just enough to satisfy those people that have an Xbox, in my opinion. Now, I asked you guys, what are your thoughts on the smart glass?
I was about to bring that up. That is my favorite thing with Microsoft right now. And I wanted to kind of do like a pros and cons thing of smart glass versus the Wii U. Now, smart glass seems to be Microsoft's, jab at Nintendo for coming out with the Wii U. The thing with Smart Glass is that it's just an app, so you don't have to buy a whole nother thing to go along with it. So it does what the Wii U does without having to go and buy another system or another accessory or whatever. It's, you know, it makes your Xbox more innovative. And one of the things that it's supposedly going to be able to do is be a cursor, like let you control a cursor, and they're putting Internet Explorer and 360, which I wish it was like something else, but you know, they're putting a legit browser in the 360 and letting you actually have the touchscreen on your tablet be a mouse, which is pretty awesome.
Well, it's voice recognition as well, I think, with the Internet Explorer, so it's a kind of another way of selling the Wii, or not, sorry, not selling the Wii, Xbox 360, or the Kinect, sorry, I'm all over the place tonight, but it could work. Like, I know as well with that, isn't it? Say if you're watching something on your smart glass tablet, and then when you come back to your Xbox, you can kind of take off where you left off in that show. Am I right about that?
If it's on like Netflix or something, yeah, Netflix saves your spot when you stop and you come back.
It's kind of for the lazy person, like doesn't have to fast forward through a DVD. It's just
well, it's like it was the same thing though. Like I think DVDs you have to fast forward, but VHSs you didn't. You could stop wherever you left off, and you can come back right where it was. YouTube kind of does that too, but only when it feels like it. It's really picky, but I mean, I like things like that, so you don't have to try and remember where you left off. Especially if you're watching like different TV series or something like that, it's like, okay, now which episode was I on? And convenient.
I looked at the smart glass, and developers, journalists, it seemed to be a mixed reaction of the smart glass. You know, obviously, everyone knows this is kind of Microsoft's, you know, what are we going to do to combat the Wii? Because that's what everyone's trying to do. Sony and Microsoft, they're trying to, you know, Sony's trying to say, you know, the PS Vita, PS3 combination is just as good as the Wii, you know, the Wii U. We can play the PS3 games on the Vita, and, you know, why go out and buy another console? And this is Microsoft's, you know, kind of answer. But at the same time, I look at it like, is it going to be a finished product or is it going to be rushed? Is it going to be something that they, man, we got to get something out quick to work with our 360. So, you know, to take some of those gamers that probably are going to look at, man, this Wii U is kind of neat, this controller and this touchscreen functionality on the controller. So I don't know I'm sold on the smart glass yet, and I'm not taking anything away from it. We just have to see when it actually hit market how much functionality is really going to be there, you know, for people to go out and purchase it. Because I do like the Wii U just because you do have your traditional buttons there. So, I mean, yeah, I do. A lot of people look at that and they tend to forget that. And a lot of people that, you know, have played with the Wii U said it's not just a gimmick. Like, the controller actually feels really good and it feels good in your hand. It fits good in your hand. So it's not just like your traditional, oh, Nintendo is going to bring out something new. No, they really put their time and, you know, energy into making sure that this controller, we've seen at E3 that, you know, they've changed the, you know, from the slide pads to the traditional analog stick. So it's like, we're going to make sure that you're comfortable, you like this, you can play your shooters on it, you can do everything on it, then you have your full touchscreen right there. So, you know, we'll see. I have to wait and see until smart glass actually hits, whether it takes off and the functionality is there.
You're dead right, man. Dead right. Yeah. Let's keep it going. So we got other things that were announced with Microsoft. They showed off, didn't they show off Resident Evil 6 footage?
Yes. I actually have a whole thing that I typed up for that because I am a huge Resident Evil fan. I'm a huge Silent Hill fan. I love all those.
Please remind me because I fell asleep during that one, I think.
I am looking forward to it because it looks like it's going to be so much better than 5. My biggest problem with 5 was the fact that you have to play with that stupid AI character. And if you don't have someone else to play with, you got to put up with the computer, and it just makes it almost unplayable for people who don't like to put up with stuff like that, like me. So, you know, and also it seemed like it was trying to copy Resident Evil 4 too much. Like, it was trying to copy the same scenario, just in a different place. Now it's in Africa instead of in Spain, and it doesn't... So, you know, it's like Resident Evil 6 looks like, you know, the graphics aren't all that great from what I can see, at least not anything special, but the atmosphere of it looks awesome. You know, since it doesn't look like a copy, it looks like it'll end up being its own solid game that'll merge the storylines between Leon S. Kennedy and Chris Redfield, which would be amazing. The only thing I didn't like about it was the fact that they gave Leon a makeover, and he doesn't have his same ruggishly good looks that he does in Resident Evil 4.
He's kind of sparkly vampire-ish now.
So, yeah. No, they gave him a nose job, but instead of making it smaller, they made it bigger and longer. He's got like a witch nose now. Mm. And I don't remember which character it is, but one of the female characters now, she's got a bit of a man face thing going on. So I don't know. It's always kind of a gamble whenever they kind of upgrade old characters from old games to new graphics. It's like the same thing with Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII when they put him in all the newer games and gave him a whole makeover. They turned him completely hideous, and it was a little depressing.
Well, I'm a big Resident Evil fan, and in my opinion, 4 is just the best game they ever created in the series. My opinion, I know some people go back and 2 was great too. Exactly. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, they like those earlier games. I enjoyed 4. I mean, it came out at the right time. Pretty much it was a GameCube exclusive at the time, and I loved that much.
It looked great in the GameCube.
Oh my gosh, when it came out, I remember putting the disc in and looking at it and being like, my gosh, like, it's just really running on my GameCube. It just looks amazing. But I think they have to strike a balance. I've heard the producers say that, you know, Resident Evil is kind of transformed. They're just not doing horror, zombie horror. They have to put action into it also. So I'm kind of wondering how much action sequence is going to be in the game. That's going to kind of sell it for me. Or is there an action game? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever quite be like Code Veronica days ever again, because I know that was the first game to make me scream when I was younger. It was just pure horror and things walking at you and dogs coming through walls and jumping through windows.
Yeah, the controls were the scariest part.
What, just learning them probably?
No, they were just
darn
awful.
You 3D controls. Oh, I hate 3D controls.
It would move the camera. You would walk down a hallway and everything would be okay, and then the camera would lock up on the corner of a wall and you'd go from what was your XY axis is now like a ZY. And you get to the end of the hallway and you go, well, this door's locked, and then a dude breaks through a wall and you just freak out and you're trying to aim and shoot, and you're shooting the sky, shooting the ground, shooting the door, not shooting anything you're trying to shoot at. And that was a rough game, but that was a pure horror. Like, it was just, you were going to die all the time.
that what gets me. I think the market right now is totally there for a good horror zombie game. I mean, you look at just on a mass market, I mean, you have the Walking Dead, all these TV shows and movies, and it's like the market is there for a really good zombie game right now. So I kind of don't get what the producer said, like, oh, we can't just go back to that survival horror. We have to have these action elements and sequences in the game. And I'm just like, I don't know. So I just kind of hope that they don't put too much emphasis on the action part and leave out the stairs and the, you know.
It kind of looks like it's morphing more into a sci-fi kind of thing. Everything's starting to look more alien-like instead of zombie-ish. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it's morphing. But from that, the atmosphere is what I was talking about earlier, is that it does look like it does look like it's going back to more of that spooky, dark atmosphere that the earlier games had. Like, 5 was too bright, in my opinion. You know, I mean, it was too much like Dead Space and things like that, where it's like you said before, it is more action, and it's like, instead of trying to mess with your brain and more psychological horror kind of stuff, or things like that, it was just kind of like, oh, here's a zombie, he's coming at you. It's like, well, I've shot about 12,000 of his friends already. Why should this scare me? You know?
Yeah.
The thing with 4 is, 'cause
I tell you to.
The thing with 4 is that, you know, even though it had a lot of those kinds of sequences, you know, it's not like you were tripping over bullets, or at least I guess it depends on which difficulty you're playing, but you're not tripping over bullets everywhere you step. So, you know, you feel like you have to, you know, I don't have a whole lot of ammo. I can't just shoot wherever I want. I have to actually use skill.
And when she was using a handgun and was hoarding all the machine gun ammo and not giving you any...
In 5.
You get hit once, and she's like, oh, I got a potion. No, why did you?
She's my pack mule in that game. She's my pack mule. Any ammo I get, I give it to her, and I give her no gun, and she just have the bow whenever I'd unlock that.
That would be like if they not only made Ashley stay with you longer in Resident Evil 4, but also had her fight, too. I mean, come on. And I've played games before where they've given you a little sidekick and they actually do some fighting and it works, you know? I mean, it's not a super great help, but it doesn't hinder you either. It's like in Silent Hill 4 with what's her butt? Eileen. There you go. Eileen. You can give her different weapons that you find throughout the game and she'll actually defend herself, which is pretty cool. But she won't get in your way. She won't try and heal you when you don't need it. She won't steal ammo. You know, it works.
You're so gonna love The Last of Us then. The Last of Us. Like, I know I'm skipping the gun a little bit, but that game is gonna be all about that with you, Joel, and then that little girl, Ellie. That's just gonna be you and her the whole time, and she's gonna help you out in times, but you don't know when. I'll get to that when we get to Sony. But the one thing I want to add about Capcom and their choices with Resident Evil 6 is, how did they let that cover art get by? And do you know what I'm on about with it?
Yeah.
Can we say it? I don't think we can.
I don't know if, I mean, we probably could. Let me see if I just pull it up.
Cover art now is.
It's just very interesting, kind of gross.
But
because I remember when it first came out, and I was like, well, that's not going to stick. And then I remember seeing an article, oh yeah, the Resident Evil cover art's been confirmed. And I clicked into it. I was like, oh, they obviously changed it. No, same cover art. Even if I think it's because they wanted everyone to start talking about it. It's kind of like with Hitman and that trailer they released there not too long about him killing all the nuns. There was a lot of controversy over it. Although I played it to my girlfriend there the last day, and I was like, what do you think of that? She's like, nothing wrong with it. Guy killing nuns because they're coming to kill him. It's not... A lot of people were giving out about it, that was sexist and stuff. But all right, so that's Resident Evil dusted. I think, does anyone want to talk about Call of Duty? I know it's the biggest thing about Microsoft, but like personally, my problem about Microsoft is that they'll start their show in exclusive, but they will end it with a third party, and that's why I think they were I wouldn't say the weakest.
Well, they started their show with Kanye West. No, who? I mean, with Usher.
Usher.
And then
Jackson poses.
I don't really have much to say about Call of Duty.
I think the fan base, I mean, it's just the market right
now. What Call of Duty is this? Which one?
This Black Ops 9? Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 5?
And it's just a market, multiplayer, and people, I think the developers are just getting away with so much. You know, the single player campaign is like, you can just throw a little story here and get away with it, because you know the mass market is buying your product for getting it multiplayer online. You know, that's what your core gamer is with that franchise. It's just a generic shooter now. That's the way it feels to me. It's just a generic shooter. You're going to get it for multiplayer. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that decided for it, but,
The rough part about talking about it is that the Call of Duty fan base is so volatile that if you nitpick any little thing out about it that you don't like or that you do like, you could seriously piss off millions of people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's little things about it, like from a gaming mechanics and game design and pure direction standpoint, you can look at the Treyarch, you know, travesties is what I call them, and you can look at them and say this and this and this and this, and then people will go, yeah, but I played it still. Like, I still played it. And I go, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, I know you still played it, because you're going to play it no matter what. It's the new one. Yeah, everybody that used to play the old one's going to quit. But if you pick out the things you don't like about it, you could have walked up and slapped their mom and offended them less. That's why I don't really like talking about it. There's a lot of things I do and don't like about it, but shooters have never been quite the solid.
It's a Michael
genre.
Bay movie. It's a Michael Bay movie. Yeah, that's what it is. Lots of explosions. Bang, bang, bang. Walk a few meters. Bang, bang, bang. Throw a grenade. Now we've got robots. Okay, you go over there and kill that enemy. All right, the robot killed one enemy, but yet there's 10 still coming towards him. Like,
and there's silence and safety, and then car accident. Oh, great. Yeah, oh, that was new and refreshing.
I bet you I'll be knocked out here for a couple of seconds, but then I'll get up miraculously and start shooting people straight off the bat. But, that's Call of Duty, anyway. Okay, so that's Microsoft's out of the way, I think. I know there was Fable Journey or something, but I don't know.
No. How could I forget about Fable Journey? Huge Fable fan
easily.
As well. My dog's name is Fable. I named him after the first game. I am looking... I mean, I won't have a Kinect yet. I want one, and I need one for my collection anyway, because I collect video games and systems and all that kind of crap. But... I mean, you know, it just, I mostly have to play it because it is a Fable game. It's one of those things where I don't care. I've played all the Silent Hills, except for the most recent one, which is killing me that I haven't played it. But I've played all the Silent Hills. I've played all the Resident Evils. Anytime I get like a series that I like, I'll play most of them, if not all of them, just because I really liked the majority of them. Even if there's a crappy one here or there, I can usually find something good about it still. But, you know, I can't wait for it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't know. And I do think that it is just something to give to the fans of Fable to get them to shut up until Fable 4 comes out. And that's why I can accept them bringing out Fable the Journey just to shut up those people so they can spend more time on Fable 4.
Yeah, my pain is that Peter Molyneux is no longer part of Lionhead, And if there is a Fable 4, then it's going to be kind of to me. You know, I don't know. I feel like his vision was seen in Fable 1 and Fable 2.
Well, with how horrible Fable 3 was, I'm okay with him leaving. Because I think he's kind of gotten stuck in a bit of a rut. Fable 3 was so empty. And yes. It was bare bones. There was nothing extra to it. I mean, and on top of it, even the downloadable content, at least one of them is bugged to where it's unplayable virtually. And it's, you know, and I have the limited collector's edition of Fable 3. Now, thankfully, I didn't spend any money on it because it was a present. And thankfully, my friend didn't spend much money on it because he got it off eBay a few months after it was released.
Oh, there you go.
So he spent like a third of what it cost on it. But so I have it. Anyway, it was just bad. It has its good points. I like the multiplayer options, but there was just so much missing that they took away from Fable 2, and it wasn't in Fable 3. And the storyline was great. All of that was great, but there was just nothing extra to it, and that was really disappointing.
All right. Cool.
Okay, well, I think the last point on Microsoft, obviously we got to move on to the next conference, but another thing, you know, no one said anything about yet, and I think they're kind of milking it at this point, and they probably should have waited for the next Xbox. But, you know, they obviously did announce the Gears of War Judgment. I've played the majority of the Gears of War games, and like the co-op, like the story for what it is. But I feel like this one wasn't necessary. I just felt like it's something that they're saying, you know what, Microsoft maybe pressured Epic, like, you know, we need something. We know this can sell a couple of million copies. You know, we're trying to just have one and a half good more years before the next Xbox. And it just feels rushed to me. It doesn't feel like it was needed. It doesn't feel like it's going to really bring anything new for its gameplay or graphics. It's just
isn't it a prequel?
Yeah, so, for as the story goes, yeah. I mean, it'd be good for those fans. But, I mean, for as just, is it going to be graphically, like, new? Is it going to be better than what we've seen out of the series? No. Is it going to bring gameplay that's just totally new and makes you think like you're playing a... No, good for the story, but I just...
It's like a DLC.
I just feel like it's rushed, and they probably should have waited to the next Xbox, you know, if they wanted to bring out a new one, just so it can be new hardware, you know, new engine, you know, just something new. But that, you know, that's just pretty much sums up Microsoft.
The only thing I'll add to that is, you know, well, that's going to be a rush job because the person that wrote 1-3 of Gears of War isn't working on it. I don't know if she refused to write it or she just said I was only signed up for 1-3. But like she didn't say, oh, she'd love to work on it, or she didn't even say, oh, well, I hope it's good. She just said no. I can't remember her name. I said I'd add that in there since he brought Gears of War Judgment.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But like the story will be about Baird being something like a general in his old. I think it's like 10 years before the events with Delta Squad, and it'll be Baird, and it'll be Coltrane, as he calls himself. So that's Microsoft anyway. We can skip ahead and go to EA. I think we'll get through EA's pretty much really quick because it's just really
sports,
you know
sports,
more.
Sports.
Sports. Two shooters.
There's SimCity too, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's coming. SimCity Social, which is going to be a Facebook game, is coming in a few weeks apparently, and then SimCity for PC will be coming in February 2013, and it's going to involve a multiplayer aspect to it.
Oh, that's new and exciting. Here's what hurts for me to see is that EA keeps plugging, you know, the life support back in for poor Maxis, because outside of Sims, everything else that they've gotten involved with has collapsed in on itself. So, I want to see and hope that Maxis can do this multiplayer Sims thing, because I'm talking maybe Sims 2 was when people were starving to play it online with friends, and now that having an ability in whatever way that they managed to incorporate an online or a multiplayer to Sims, I think is going to work really well, but just hopefully Maxis doesn't lose its encouragement like it always does and drop it completely.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had Sims Online. You had that game. And then you have Sims Social, which has done really, really well. And they combined with Playfish for that. And, you know, so I think they started developing it. Oh, I think they launched SimSocial. They launched it last summer. And they got people all hyped up for it. And there's, like, tons and tons of players. And I guess they wanted to test the waters and see if that audience was there. That, like, okay, do you want to play Sims online? I personally think that would be awesome if they made some sort of thing like that where you could do multiplayer in The Sims. And not just, like, you know, The Sims Online itself, have a whole separate game, but have an update or an upgrade or something for Sims 3 or whatever to where you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big EA fan at this point. I do feel like over the years they have just slowly declined to a certain extent.
Beat things into the ground too much.
Yeah, I mean, just Madden just seems irrelevant to me. Like, it just seems like there's nothing I've seen from Madden out of the last couple of years to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to pick up the new Madden as soon as it launches. And I actually heard that
it's got a new box cover.
Yeah,
that's about it.
I heard the one from last year actually was pretty good, but I think that you have to be either, one, a diehard Madden fan. You just have to – you buy these things every year, or you're just a diehard football fan. You just want to have your football simulation. That, I mean, outside of that, I think that's who buys Madden. I mean
– Yeah. The market is very pigeonholed.
Now, for Dead Space.
Dead Space.
I love the first – Dead Space. I haven't played the second one. I hear it's good, but I hear there's a couple things wrong with it. When I first seen the trailer for the new Dead Space 3, I didn't catch the very start of Microsoft. I kind of jumped in because my internet was a bit laggy. And the first thing I jump into is Isaac Clarke with another guy beside him. And straight away, he does a barrel roll. And I'm like, oh no, barrel rolls. It's Resident Evil all over again. Resident Evil 5. And from there, I just got bored.
I heard a lot of people now. This, I played Dead Space, and a lot of people said they don't like the Dead Space 3 because it kind of takes away. Dead Space has always been about this: you're alone, you're in this world, you're alone, and
everything is happening.
Yeah. So when you add another person to that in co-op, it's like you take away the actual, you know, the foundation of the game, which is like you're alone, you know, you have to fight off all these, you know, everything. And it's kind of like, that's why I'm not a big, I told you guys, I'm not a big multiplayer fan. And sometimes I think franchises are forced into doing something like that just to try to be new and try to be, oh, we added co-op, you can play alone with someone now, or, you know, something like that. And it's just like, sometimes it's not needed. Sometimes you need to stick to what, you know, what works for you. And I think that might be, you know, a downfall for Dead Space 3.
It's becoming a little bit of gaming stigma for you to make a game that doesn't have a multiplayer in some fashion. I don't remember which title it was. It was Battlefield 3. There we go. Battlefield 3 has no split screen multiplayer, but it has an online. And that caused so much trouble because people were so upset about it not having a split-screen multiplayer. But, you know, back in the day, that wasn't even – I mean, I was surprised that, Battlefield ever did anything with a single player involved in it. You know, Battlefield 2 was around for so long. It was strictly online fighting, you know, but to have so many people get really upset over games not having multiplayer nowadays is sad. Because they're being forced to, like you even said, drop in quality in terms of story or depth. It all becomes about how well can you play with other people. And I don't know. I'm also not a fan of that.
Yeah. So that pretty much sums up EA in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else that you guys want to input, but nothing special in my opinion. But
EA does a lot of they put a whole lot of effort into that Medal of Honor footage, and that was kind of like that was like their big thing, and I'm like, hey, another shooter, like that's really all it meant to me.
Guys, I can
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, shoot, that's what shooters have become nowadays, and I totally agree with you on that.
Well, like, I watch all of EA, and like, I can name out all the things that are coming, and we don't have to comment on them. I just said I'll name them out because people probably are just interested in what happened in the conference. Like, they started off with the Dead Space 3, they moved on to Madden NFL. The only thing with Madden that'll be new is that it's got a mode called Connected Careers, and according to them, it's going to have an element of RPG elements in it, and you can post your statuses to Twitter. Then they went on to Maxis. We already went over that. Then one of the announcements was Battlefield 3 are implementing a premium subscription service. And that's going to cost $49.99. And it's on PS3 at the moment, but it's coming to Xbox and PCs next week. And it'll give you all the DLCs. It'll add in perks and all that. But I don't play Battlefield 3 in it, so I don't really care for it, but a lot of people are saying it's kind of good. It's going to compete with Call of Duty's Elite service, and maybe it can take them down, but it's kind of, we have to wait and see. They went on then to the Star Wars The Old Republic, and they had a part. Yeah, I haven't played the game. Now that you can play up to level 15 for free, I might give it a go, because I was a bit of an MMO fan for a while and played the old, you know, WoWs and the LoLs, you know, League of Legends. But I kind of, when I got a girlfriend, I said, okay, I better dial back now a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to lose her.
Don't go back.
But I've converted her into a small bit of a gamer. She loves the Assassin's Creed. I got her for her birthday. The Join or Die edition of Assassin's Creed 3. And like, it was kind of sucky, you know. Oh, I got you a present, but it's not going to be here until October. So hopefully we'll stick together. If not, I'm having fun. But after Star Wars, there was Battlefield Warfighter, which didn't impress me at all. I think it's going to be like the old last year's War. Medal of Honor Warfighter. My apologies. That didn't impress me, and last year's one didn't do all that well. Then they went on to FIFA and announced FIFA Club. The cool thing, if you're a FIFA fan, is with FIFA 13, if you have FIFA 12 and you have progress in Football Club, it will transfer over to FIFA 13. So it's kind of like a new game plus when you go play FIFA 13. All your stats are there, which is kind of good to the FIFA fans, because it's kind of sucky to go out every year and buy that game without fail. It's like in the top 10, like all around Christmas every year. Let's see. And then one of the biggest announcements, I think we should talk about this, is UFC, EA have acquired the rights, and THQ is no longer in charge of the UFC franchise.
Now, THQ is no longer in business.
THQ is...
Monday morning on E3, they shut their doors.
They're not completely finished. Like,
yeah, they have a couple of titles coming out. I mean, they pretty much... They talked to the new CEO or the new head of THQ, and I think he was with Naughty Dog, Naughty Dog development team, if I'm not mistaken. Before he was with THQ, he took that job, and you know, he said they pretty much had to trim some of the fat, and you know, and
it was straight up liposuction.
Yeah, I can't say I'm the biggest UFC fan, you know, for its actual fighting, and are obviously not the game, but, you know, can they do something with it? It remains to be seen. I mean, it is a big sport. I mean, it's a growing sport. There are tons of fans out there, but can they take the game and turn it into a profitable franchise remains to be seen.
Yeah, agreed. And then there was Crysis 3, and another thing I was very unimpressed with, when I was watching it, it just reminded me of Crysis 2 a lot, and like, I had problems with Crysis 2, because when I first bought the game, I was thinking, oh cool, a game that you can probably play stealth or all out war, because you have stealth, and I remember seeing the first Crysis guys go up, kill them, then go into stealth again, but in Crysis 2, you go up to a guy, you'd stealth kill him, and then his friend would turn around and be like, oh, what the hell? And then, like, he shoots you. It's kind of, you're advertising this game as a stealth game, but it really isn't. You have to, it's a Call of Duty in a way, you know? Kind of, it let me down. I was hoping it was going to be something like, you know, Deus Ex, one of my favorite games from last year, if anyone played it. I really, really enjoy that game.
Yeah, that was good.
Unless, if you have anything to weigh in on Crysis 3, you're welcome, but that was the last game shown on EA's list.
Bows and arrows.
Well, oh, if we're going
That was my tweet of the day. I was like, bows are in this year.
Yep.
If we're going to move on to Sony next, I would like to open with Quantic Dream's latest game, because I'm a huge fan of Quantic Dream. I really enjoyed Fahrenheit, or Indigo Prophecy is what it was called, released in the U.S. I haven't played Heavy Rain yet. I want to. I do not have a PS3. Beyond Two Souls. I can't afford anything. Beyond Two Souls is... I want a PS3 so bad. Every day I can't play God of War 3, I die a little bit on the inside. Anyway, Beyond Two Souls is their newest game that they've announced. And let's see, the main character, Jodie Holmes, is going to be portrayed by Ellen Page,
which is
from Juno. Yes, I'm very excited about that. I love her. But the game, this is from Wikipedia, it says the game is centered around questions about what happens after death. So it takes the main character on a journey throughout her life to discover the true meaning, and all this kind of stuff, which sounds basically exactly like what Quantic Dream does, because they're just awesome like that, and they make such great games, and I wish they had more, but I know that they, you know, I don't want fans to push them either, because having aggressive fans leads to crappy games that have been rushed, and that's
They're a very careful studio. You can tell, because when they were, you seen their tech demo of Kara there not too long ago, yeah? Everyone seen that tech demo? Amazing, amazing. And I love listening to the guy talk. He loves his job, and he loves working with the people that he meets. He could name out every person he interviewed for that job, or for that role of Kara when he was doing it. He was just a really genuine guy. And I think they're not a Sony-owned company, but they love working on Sony because they're so open. They let them do their thing. If they need more time to finish the product, they let them do it. Whereas Xbox would be like, no, this has to be on the shelf today. If it's broken, just we'll patch it, you know. But like, I am looking forward to Beyond Two Souls. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that they do acquire Quantic Dreams as a first party studio.
My take on Sony altogether, in my opinion. You know, a lot of people said Ubisoft, you know, they pretty much won E3 for as conferences go. They did really good, but I think Sony did really good, really, really good. They showed off games. They showed off games, and that's, you know, we're gamers. We want to see games, and that's what they did. They showed off the Last of Us gameplay, which looked amazing. I don't have a PS3, but... You know, for all those people that have a PS3, I'm sure they're like, man, please give us a release date. I'm ready to get this game.
Pre-ordered on Amazon already.
Yeah, Beyond Two Souls looked amazing. I've said this before. Sony know their fans very well. They know who's going to go buy their consoles. They know how to make them tick, how to make them say, okay, give me more. Sony knows how to do that, and I think their conference was really, really good, more so because of the games they showed. And they still got a couple of games that, you know, I was expecting that wasn't shown. The Last Guardian, I don't know if you guys are following by Team ICO, but I thought they would have shown that game at E3, and I think someone came out with a statement saying that it was just not ready to be shown or something to that effect. But Sony did a great job, in my opinion, on E3 and their conference. They, for those people that got PS3, they love to play games, they did a good job of making them say, okay, well, you know, I'm ready for my PS3. I'm ready for new games. So.
Yeah, I'm ready for Wonderbook. Bring it on. Yeah.
I'm ready for God of War Ascension.
Yeah, I'm sure. Even though, I think they did a good job, and you know, they know their fan base. They know the people that like God of War. They like the brutality of it, and they showed that. But just in my opinion, this is just my opinion
from a Nintendo player standpoint. No.
My opinion is that maybe I was expecting maybe the next God of War to be for the next PlayStation. I think that it, I mean, not saying that they couldn't do anything with it, but it doesn't look like a jump to me. Like, it doesn't look like, man, I mean, because we know Sony loves their hardware. They love saying, oh, this game can only be made on a Sony console, on a Sony hardware. But it doesn't look like a jump in, you know, Sony loves to brag to a certain extent about their graphics. Like, you know, look at how this game looks. It can only be made on our platform. And I just didn't see that jump in the God of War from a graphical standpoint. Obviously, the brutality is there. The, you know, you love God of War, you're going to like it. But I don't know. This
God of War Ascension isn't necessarily supposed to be God of War 4. It's supposed to be like
a prequel.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. It's just, once again, it's like Fable: The Journey. It's just something to give fans, to get them, you know, give them something to keep them busy while they work on the next installment or while they're planning the next installment. And what I love is that it's actually going to be on a console and not a handheld. I hate whenever you have big game series release their little games in between their big releases, just to keep their fans busy. But it's always on Kingdom Hearts. Zelda does that a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the Zelda games for the consoles. I hate most of the, or I don't hate, but I don't necessarily like the Zelda games for the handhelds. I've played some of them too, so I'm not just blindly saying that. I got in a pretty big fight with a hardcore Zelda fan one time because Zelda fan base are crazy. but I got in a pretty big fight with one person one time who wouldn't just let it go and let me have my opinion. I'm like, you can go ahead and you can worship all the Zelda games all you want. This is my opinion. I don't know why you're trying to, you know, hate on me for it. Okay.
Why didn't you let it go, Tron? Come on.
Yeah. You know, I'm very open-minded. And, you know, for me, it's like either a game is good and I get it and I see it, or it's not. Some games really have to win me over. Just because it has a name behind it that maybe has some history, or sometimes you just have to win me over. Like, obviously, I know, you know, sometimes we make certain jokes, but, like, you know, thinking like a woman, sometimes you have to win a woman's heart over. That's just how it is. You can't just say, oh, I'm here, you know, I'm here, take me or be with me. Sometimes you have to, you know, you have to make them want it. And that's, you know, some games, that's how it works for me. And, you know, just on going back to Sony, I think that they have a interesting thing that they have to overcome, which is, you know, they bring out the PS Vita, which is, you know, has this amazing hardware, you know, one of their big launch things or one of their big talking points when the PS Vita first got announced was, oh, you know, they can replicate graphics just as good as PS3 can, you know. But to me, it's like Sony doesn't get the home console versus handheld console. You can't have your handheld console try to be what your home console is. There needs to be a distinction. This is my home console, and this is my handheld. It's going to go on the go. I can't just try to give you the best big budget blockbuster graphically intense games. Like, what's the purpose of me having a home console if I'm going to try to have that in my handheld? But that's just my opinion. But
yeah, like the DS has its own very unique games and has its own very unique style to it. It doesn't try to be the Wii. It is the DS.
Well, there's a reason why I had the original PSP, and I mean, I had this thing completely, like, I had my own firmware on it. I had this thing completely hacked. And so, you know, there's a reason why, even though I had that and I could put whatever I wanted to on it, I went ahead and I traded it in for a DS Lite. it basically sat in my sock drawer for about a year. And when I came across it later, I was like, you know what? I kind of want a DS. I'm taking a road trip this year. I got to drive halfway across the country. So, yeah, I want a DS. So I traded it in, got my DS, and I love the thing. You know, I play it a lot more than I ever did my PSP.
In that same retrospect, though, with the PS Vita coming out, is the PSP going to die a slow, painful death?
No, because no, you're very, very wrong. Because the PSP is outselling the PlayStation Vita in its home country, Japan, like 4-1 at the moment.
Oh, they're still pushing. Oh my god!
Look into it that. Really they're is. Still push. They're still pushing PSP games in Japan. Like that's another thing. Is why are you bringing out this console? Or sorry, not console, handheld. When you're still pushing the older version of it in your own country, there's like games coming out, you know, like Japanese games. There's like loads of them still coming out. Like I know we don't see any over here except for like, you know, maybe FIFAs and stuff. But like PSP over here in like I'm over in Ireland, by the way. This is all the way from Ireland, guys. PSP is like nowhere to be seen in Ireland. I never see anyone holding a PSP. I never had one. I bought a Vita on launch day, and like I loved the thing. I have every game that I have for platinumed, and it's just to me it's a great handheld. But the thing I will say is, it would have been brilliant 3 or 4 years ago before we had iPhones, and it would have taken off better then.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like it's a great piece of hardware. It is really good. But
like,
go on.
My oldest brother lives in Japan, and he bought the Vita when it first came out, and he ended up, I think a couple weeks later, he was looking for people in the U.S. to sell it to. Like, he's like, okay, I'm done with it, and he wanted to sell it. Unfortunately, though, I don't think he was able to do it. I think my other brother was going to buy it from him. But it didn't work out. The little town he works in, or he lives in, he doesn't work there, but little town he lives in, they don't ship, like they didn't want to ship the battery or something like that. It was, I don't know, some sort of issue, so he couldn't ship it. Yeah. But he got bored with it in less than a couple weeks. And I guess it just depends on the kind of gamer you are and what you your tastes and all that kind of things are. And he and I have similar gaming tastes, so I can kind of understand where he's coming from with it. But
yeah, my personal opinion, and I think that Sony, one, the PS Vita, Sony, they market their product for their fan base, really for their fan base. I think they don't think so much mass market, like everyone. Is everyone going to want to buy this product, you know, no matter, you know, who you are, where you are, what type of gamer you are. They try to hit the home run sometimes, and sometimes it's, you don't have to hit the home run to have a good console. You know, you just sometimes you have to steadily be there, come out with new games. And I think that's the difference between a DS and a PSP, or a 3DS and a PS Vita, is just that, you know, Nintendo, they get handheld. I mean, if you don't know that, you just, their handhelds probably have been more successful than the majority of their home consoles. They get how to market, how to bring great content to handhelds. And it's like sometimes seeing Sony try to go for the big blockbuster hit, the home runs, and I don't know. You know, I've heard a lot of gamers that just said, hey, I'm giving up my PS Vita, or I'm putting it on eBay or whatever. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how it works out in the end.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of quick notes in Sony's press conference, and a couple of them we can cover in Ubisoft because they're Ubisoft owned. But I quickly wanted to say, when I was watching the Sony presser and the God of War Ascension came on, I remember when he's hacking, slashing the goat men, and then there's like this massive boss, which is an elephant. My friend tweeted, like, I have a Twitter notification, and like it came up with a tweet, that elephant won't remember that tomorrow. I was like, he was as quick as lightning. He had that within, after 2 seconds after Kratos taken off its head. It was like that. He won't remember that tomorrow. But okay, I'll run through Sony's other things that they had on the list. PlayStation All Stars was shown, and they have confirmed that it would be cross platform with the PlayStation Vita, so you can play PlayStation 3 against the Vita. And they did an unveiling of two new extra characters. And it was a no-brainer that Nathan Drake would eventually be coming. But the big surprise was a Big Daddy is announced on the Vita lineup.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that
I put BA
right there.
Yeah, I seen a trailer for the gameplay with Nathan Drake and Big Daddy, and I can't wait to play Big Daddy if I do pick that up. And it's apparently coming in later in the holiday season, according to that. But then another big announcement was their PlayStation Plus perks and their plans. I've been a PlayStation Plus member since the beginning, and I've gotten like definitely my money's worth out of it. But I think people who have PlayStation 3s now that don't get PlayStation Plus are stupid. Because I'm after downloading, like this week an update went up, I'm after getting Infamous 2, which is retails at 60 on the PlayStation Network, which means it's already covered your buy for the PlayStation's Play Plus. Little Big Planet 2 is downloadable. You also get Outland. Sorry, guys, I'm. It's late here for me. Okay,
that's okay.
It's all right, man.
All right, what else did I get? I got Warhammer 40,000, that game that only came out not too long ago for free. What else? There was Virtua Fighter 5 for free. There was Renegade Ops for free. And Darksiders 1 for free. Nice. And then Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, that game that only released there not too long ago, that was free. So like, if you just joined PlayStation Plus this week alone, you would have like you saved yourself money straight away. And this is not a case of, oh, it's just because they announced it at E3. This is like every month they're going to be unveiling like full-on games that you'll get for free for just being a PS Plus member, which is only €50 for the year. Sorry, $50 for ye. Like, it's for me, it's a no-brainer now. Like, I have a friend. I rang him up the day after, and I was like, hey, man, did you hear about PlayStation Plus? And I said it to him, and he's after getting back from Germany, and he was really, really drunk. And I was like, yeah, what do you think of that? He's like, I'm in GameStop right now. She won't sell it to me because I'm a bit drunk. And then, like, I logged in later on, and I seen, like, that nice plus beside him, and I was like, rang him up, said, hey, how's it going? Nice plus. But all right, other things, unless like, do you have PlayStation Plus, or do you even have Samuel, no, do you have a PlayStation?
I the only console I currently have acquired 360 from a friend of mine, and I'm borrowing it, but I no longer have a console. I'm using his 360. I'm a heavy PC gamer.
Oh, okay. I
have a PS3 in my house at the moment, and I will for about a month. One of my brothers just graduated from college, and he's moved back home for about a month until he finds another place to live closer to his job he got. But he has a PS3, and if I'm nice, he'll let me play it. So I might try and get some gaming in on some of the PlayStation 3 exclusives that I haven't been able to play, that I've been wanting to, like Uncharted. And all that kind of good stuff. I don't think he has God of War 3. He's not really a huge God of War fan. I'm the big God of War fan, despite having three brothers.
You can pick that up for about 10 bucks now, or 15 maybe.
I might look into that, and I'll have to go and buy Heavenly Sword again, because I used to have Heavenly Sword, and I sold it back when you could sell it for more money, because I needed the money.
I liked Heavenly Sword, but I loved their game Enslaved, the next one after they made.
I haven't played that one.
It's such a good story. Andy Serkis, the guy that played Smeagol in The Lord of the Rings, he does the voice work and the mocapping for it. And it's a really good story, and it's really good like character building between them. The gameplay is good,
man,
as well.
I'll look that up.
Definitely do, man. It's really, really good. But then there was Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified was announced for the PlayStation Vita, and that's all that was mentioned. There was no release dates, and there wasn't even a trailer. It just had on the back screen of PlayStation Vita and Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified on it. Then moving on to, there was announcement of Assassin's Creed 3 Liberations being released on PlayStation Vita. Anyone want to talk about that?
I think it's a positive. I think that's a good move, because that is now an exclusive on what is a 360 dominant platform title. That initially, when it got, everybody was drooling over its 360 availability, and then Revelations was played heavier on the 360 than it was on the PSN. And now they're looking at sales numbers, and Sony's sales numbers are starting to pick up. The game just looks gorgeous on the PS3. And now you got the PS Vita is coming out with an exclusive. So Sony just cashed in on an incredible idea, which was, hey, we have this another Assassin's Creed title that's not quite an in between like Brotherhood or Revelations. Oh, but it's only for our little system. And now everybody's going to think, oh, I want to play. I really want to play. So
how they're going to sell that. They're going to sell it, but because there's no Desmond in that game, that's how they're going to sell it.
Oh man, this story is going to be incredible. I really that's almost enough to make me want to either get a Vita or borrow one, because I want to play it. I'm in love with anything, you know, Assassin's Creed. It's so such an immersive, fun kind of game. And then now they're saying this. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it definitely looks good. It looks good on all the platforms. It's just amazing. Obviously, you know, looking at a lot of videos and things on E3, and just being able to see these third-party games run on Nintendo high-def console is kind of, like, amazing. Obviously, for me, being a Nintendo gamer here, and I guess if there's nothing else with PS3 switching into Nintendo's conference, I guess I can start off on this, which in my opinion was underwhelming, and it was a disappointment to a certain extent. You know, obviously there was a lot of people that just took it way bad. It was, oh, I'm not getting a Wii U now, and blah blah blah, and it was just like, okay, it's not that serious. I understand that they didn't have the best conference, but
they've got a few conferences coming up though soon, and going to show. And they're going to get everyone excited for Christmas.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. And I know a lot of people and it was good. They got some of the casual stuff out of the way, like, okay, this is what's coming. And then there was actually a rumor, not so much a rumor, but it's pretty much confirmed that Retro, we know Retro, developers of the Metroid Prime series, and they did the Donkey Kong Country Returns, which I love, probably one of my favorite games of this generation. The new game that they're working on, they were supposed to show it off at E3, then at the last minute, they pulled it, and they said they didn't think it was ready to be shown off, which happens a lot with Nintendo. It happens a lot for whatever reason. Either they do it, or one of their developers end up pulling games at the last moment. But overall, I'm still excited about the Wii U. I think E3, for me, kind of showed me that this controller can actually work. This controller can actually be what it's supposed to be from day one. It's, you know, obviously there's those people that just don't like Nintendo for whatever reason. They say, oh, every time Nintendo comes out with something new, well, this is a gimmick. They just want another gimmick to try to get people to buy their home consoles. But I really do like the controller. I think that some of the integration that you see in some of the games, Ubisoft Zombie U, the game looks amazing, not from graphical anything, it's just the gameplay, the way they use the controller to make you, you know, you go out in your bag and everything is real time. So we know, and you're switching guns and you're putting stuff in your bag, it's happening in real time, so you can get killed while you're doing this. Zombies still are coming at you while you're doing this. It's not like a game where you go to your, you know, menu and you do all this stuff and the game is paused. No, this is real time, so when you're doing this stuff, the game is still running, zombies are still coming at you. So just some of the controller integration in games looks really good. And then, obviously, it's a high-def Nintendo console. That in itself, knowing that high-def Nintendo games are coming, first-party, you have to, well, I have
been a long time coming.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Can't wait for your hair follicle on Donkey Kong's back to wave around in the wind.
Exactly. You know, so there's still a lot of questions about the Wii. There's still a lot of questions about the Wii U, what they're going to do. They haven't answered every question yet. So,
as they figure out the answers, they'll tell us.
They do what Nintendo does best. They only give you a little bit of a taste, and they leave you wanting more. And that's they're marketing geniuses. They really are. They're like strippers. I'm hoping that, you know, they continue, you know, doing what they do. And one thing I really, really, really would love to see more of from Nintendo are more varieties on their retro downloading, the virtual console. You know, more old school titles and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that would just be great to see more of those on there.
Yeah, I think, and they have said, obviously, you know, the Wii, original Wii, was backwards compatible with the GameCube. You can actually play GameCube games and the Wii and, you know, GameCube controllers.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a big part, because you know, obviously a lot of people, GameCube didn't sell well. It sold like 20 million consoles altogether. But there was a lot of people that loved the console, loved a lot of the games, so that's going to be big. And I can see them doing something like a high. They usually don't do it, but you see with the 3DS how they came out and brought Ocarina of Time, kind of ported it over to the 3DS, and then they came out with Star Fox 64 over on the 3DS. They ported that to the 3DS. I'm expecting to see them do some stuff like that with titles that maybe came out of GameCube, like maybe a Wind Waker High Def or something to that extent that came out on the GameCube. But like I said, all in all, I expected more out of their conference. I thought that they were going to do a little bit more to just say, because the main point of Nintendo was like, we're going back after the core gamer. We want everyone. We don't just want the casual audience. We want the shooter fans. We want the core gamers. And so I thought they would show off a little bit more core games to get those gamers. But like Mitch said, they do have a couple more conferences before the launch of the Wii U. So I do expect them to show us those games then.
Like, the thing I wanted to say as well, like, they had a pre-E3 conference themselves. They did it over the web. And I was asked to cover that by my editorial manager. And I was really bummed out about it, to be honest. I was like, oh, God. And that was like the night I was going out last weekend. You all know how that went. Let's just say, don't post them comments. I'll be nice, I swear. But I will be honest. Like, when I was doing it the next day, slightly hungover, after having my mother on the phone saying, when are you coming home for dinner? I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do it. But when I got into it, and I was like watching the video and watched over and over and took down notes and started taking screenshots and looking at it, it got me. It's like, it's what they wanted to do. They wanted you to get interested in it. They wanted you to be excited for it. And I was like, I think I texted you, Tron. I was like, man, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to see what to do with their conference. And I was so disappointed. Like, started off great. Like, they showed, you know, a new Super Mario. No one seen that coming. And then they went into Batman Arkham City Armored Edition. I was like, all right, cool. The Batman Arkham City. I've already bought it, but like, maybe I might get it for the Wii U. It's probably got new DLC and stuff.
Yeah, they do.
And then they just showed a bunch of games that will be coming, but have already been released on some consoles. Like, I have a list here, like Darksiders 2, which isn't released yet, but that'll be coming to Wii U. Then Mass Effect 3, which has been out for a while now. A game called Tank Tank Tank, which I think is going to be in a Wii U exclusive. Tekken Tag Tournament, I think that game was already out, or maybe it's a new version. Trine 2, which released there a couple months ago, but they're calling it the Director's Cut. Then Ninja Gaiden, which has already been released, but this one's called Razor Edge, so I don't know if it's going to continue the same game that was just released, or will it be something new? And then, I like to call it Anal Colonial Marines, was announced as well. And that was it. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, these new press conferences, because I know they're going to show more stuff. But I think for E3, which is, everyone watches E3, like I always watch E3, but then like stuff like PAX and stuff I've give a miss, and E3 is the place where you show off your guns. Your hard hitters.
Exactly what it is. And
your Marios and your Donkey Kongs and your...
That was my problem. My problem is that some of the games that they showed off, and I'm talking to more so the casual games, when you look at Just Dance 4, you look at this new Sing IP, they're coming out with. You have those games in development, that's fine, but E3 isn't where you show off those games, because the people that's going to buy those games are not watching E3. I promise you that. They're not watching E3. Those are the games that you can market those in commercials and things like that, and they're going to do just fine. E3 is where you get your core gamers. The core gamers watch E3. The people that really love gaming and want to play games all day, every day, those are the people that watch E3, not the casual people. So I do feel like they went wrong on that direction. They shouldn't have shown those games off. We could have cared less about those games. Good that they're coming, good for the casual audience, but they didn't need to show those. But all in all, like I said, I was kind of, I'm not even going to, you know, I'm going to admit, I was kind of pissed off at their conference. Like, really, like, Nintendo, what are you doing? But I think, you know, I went back.
It pains you to admit that, doesn't it?
No, not at all, really, not at all, because it is what it is. And being a Nintendo fan, you have to be a special type of gamer to be a Nintendo fan, because I was talking to some other guys online the other night, and I was like, it seems like Nintendo makes decisions just to piss off their fans. Like, they do it on purpose. Like, oh, you're our fan? You really like our games? You like our systems? We're going to do something that's going to piss you off. Like, right now, you guys saw E3. You saw the Wii U. They showed it off in two colors, white and black. The black color looks extremely better than the white color. Just a sexy-looking console, in my opinion, the controller and everything. Now, Nintendo shows off this console in the black color, the whole E3, and then they come out and say, yeah, the black color is not going to be available at launch.
I don't remember that.
It makes you think, like, what are you doing, Nintendo? I want the black console. Why would you show it off at E3 the whole time and then say, oh, yeah, you want this? Yeah, you're not going to get it. It's not going to – it'll be available at a later date. Sometimes they do things that just make you say Nintendo. But all in all, like, looking at the launch lineup, they do – they're going to be all right. I think they're going to do just fine. And, you know, people are kind of down on them right now, but – they're going to show off some more titles coming up in the next couple of months before the launch of the Wii U, and I think the console will do fine.
So I guess in conclusion, are the most disappointing in E3 would be Nintendo.
In my opinion, it's obviously Nintendo. And, yes, you know, a lot of people say that's a stretch, but the reality is they had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to really blow people away. They had a new console, and you know, they were going out, yeah, everyone, they, you know, we're going to show off this console, this is the final unveiling, you know, what the main console is going to look like, and they just didn't blow me away, and that's what
they
didn't deliver.
Well, I'm glad that, like, I enjoy E3, but we forgot to mention a couple of Ubisofts. I'm kind of glad that we didn't go into Ubisoft after EA, because they had, I haven't decided who's my favorite press conference. I think it's tied between Sony and Ubisoft, and I think what won me over with Ubisoft is that, like, they have Splinter Cell Blacklist, and they have Assassin's Creed, which looks amazing, and then they had a new IP.
Far Cry 3
looks really good as well. Like,
Watch Dogs, man.
Yeah, Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs looks pretty cool. Oh my God, that blew me away.
I remember just watching it, and I was like, what's this? Is this Grand Theft Auto or something? Wow, it looks very, very pretty. What's he doing? And then he takes out a phone, and some lines come on screen. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? And then, like, as soon as he goes up to the entrance, and you see him go on the phone to disconnect your man's, whatever it was, Bluetooth device, sorry. You just knew, like, oh, this is what this game is going to be all about. It's going to be like, people, watch out. This is what your technology is going to do in a couple of years. This is a brilliant idea. This is, like, going to get people talking about it. Because it's just like, yeah, this is going to be a conspiracy theory game now. Like, this could totally happen. And not to mention
their smartphones.
That, yeah, iPhone 4 out the window, please. contact me by postal, please.
Carrier pigeons.
Yeah. Go back to Game of Thrones times when you release the crow. But it is the game of the show for me, next to Last of Us, which we didn't talk about. We can go back to after Ubisoft. Like, what else at Ubisoft did you see that kind of, like, blew you away? We already went down about Splinter Cell Blacklist, which was shown at Microsoft, but it was shown again at Ubisoft. But Assassin's Creed 3, actually, we didn't go on about.
I'm so excited about Assassin's Creed 3. When I first got my Game Informer, that was the special issue for Assassin's Creed 3. I flipped out. I was mad at my parents for not giving me the thing earlier, because they checked the mail And I'm like, they're like, oh, it's like a couple days later, like, oh, by the way, you got this in the mail. And I'm like, why did you wait to give this to me? What is wrong with you? Okay, anyway.
You know, I'm the last person to see this now.
I'm not going to be cool tomorrow.
Exactly. It is, I'm just super excited for it. I really am. I love Assassin's Creed. I got into the game kind of late. I first played the first one last August. I bought Assassin's Creed 1 for myself as an early birthday present, and my mom got me Assassin's Creed 2 as a birthday present.
Happy
as
birthday,
well.
By the way.
And, do what?
Happy birthday, by the way. Sorry I was late.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not till late August, but... anyway, it'll do for now.
Don't forget.
All right, so I guess we should kind of start wrapping this up a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so okay.
Yeah, I think.
All right, so we'll just go through like games of the show and your favorite press conference. So I'll ask you all individually. So Linda, what do you think game of the show for E3 and favorite press conference?
I don't know. That's a hard decision. There's so many of the different games I'm looking forward to. I guess as far as my favorite press conference would have to be Xbox, and that's just because of all the innovative stuff coming out for it, and I'm super excited about Smart Glass and all the games and all that coming out. I'm really excited for all of it.
Oh, cool, Tron, you?
It's definitely between Sony and Ubisoft, but I have to give Ubisoft the edge. I think they just showed off. I mean, obviously, you got a new console coming out with the Wii U, and they said, "Oh, we support this console." They're bringing out what, 7 days at launch or something like that for the Wii U. They showed off stuff for the Wii U. Then they showed off, you know, Far Cry 3, Assassin's Creed 3. Then you got the new IP, which is probably going to hit, you know, next gen. But they supposedly it's in development for 360 and PS3 also, but. Game of the show with me would be Watch Dogs. That was the game of the show. It blew me away. I wanted that game. That's why I say sometimes you have to win me over. That game, when I saw the demo, I'm like, I want this game right now. Like, today, tomorrow, bring it out. But Ubisoft did it for me.
Definitely, man. Like, what I like about Ubisoft is they're not afraid to get into the Wii U. Like, everyone's kind of like still... don't know what it's going to be about, and then Ubisoft are jumping in with both hands and like giving them the games and like really working towards making their games work on the Wii U, like with Rayman Legends is another example. But I'd say we'll have loads of time to bring that up again, but Samuel, to you, mate, what was your favorite game, what was your favorite press?
I'm gonna go against the grain and have to say Pikmin 3.
Funny guy.
I was definitely, I was actually taken back by doing a little bit more digging around. I watched some footage of the game Dishonored, which is coming out. It's kind of like a crazy steampunk Assassin's Creed hybrid with a touch of Bioshock in there. And if it's got steampunk on it, it takes it away for me. And the conference that took me away... Oh man, I'm really saying I'm split between like Sony's and Ubisoft, but I think I might actually switch up and say that I want to lean a little bit more towards Sony, because I feel overall on the grand scale, it being one of the three, you know, head dogs, Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, I think Sony pulled it off the best out of them, and they were the most entertaining to watch, and I got the most games from them, you know.
Cool. All right, since I'm the host, it's kind of weird for me to ask myself a question, so you guys, I shoot you the co-host to ask me the question.
What do you think was your favorite conference, and how badly are you waiting for Pikmin 3? No.
Oh man, like I got to say, like, I cannot wait for Wonder Book. That game blew me away when that tech demo failed on stage and everything. Ah, it's gonna be so good. No, we're all serious. Being serious, like, Okay, I'll make a quick point about Wonderbook. I think it will sell. It's going to go towards the younger gamer, like the kids, and it's going to be the parents buying it for them because they like J.K. Rowling's books, Harry Potter's, and they're going to be like, oh, they want their kids to get into J.K. Rowling, and then when they grow up, they can be like, oh, here, have the Harry Potter book. But press conference of the show, I'm going to give it to Sony. They started off with exclusive, and then they finished with an exclusive. They had their rough and tumbles in between, but they had a good, steady conference, and nobody went away not like feeling unhappy. Maybe a few people were like, where's all the PlayStation Vita games? They were thinking they weren't going to be announced, but there was a trailer I checked out today that showed loads of Vita games on the way, and I can't wait for a lot of them. But game of E3, definitely I have to go with Tron, man. Watch Dogs blew me away. Same thing. As soon as that gameplay trailer ended, I was like, oh, Watch Dogs, I'm going to watch that again and watch it again and retweet it. And then I'm going to send it to my mother saying, ma'am, look, this is what, this is the future. This is the future.
This is it. Sell your car.
Sell your car. You won't need it. Someone else is just going to steal it by hacking it with their stupid smartphone. But yeah, I know Watch Dogs, Watch Dogs, and then like The Last of Us, I'd love to give it to it, but Watch Dogs just came out of nowhere. No one knew about the Watch Dogs. No one even knew if it was next gen or this gen. It's coming this gen, but it's also going to be a next gen. But I cannot wait for that game. So without further ado,
I guess you could call Watch Dogs the underdog.
Joke we of the almost cast. Went
the whole podcast without a.
I had to. I'm sorry.
I'm very proud. We went the whole podcast without saying a bad word.
Oh, without a bad word. That's a good one.
Oh, don't worry. We're deleting this podcast after.
Oh, yeah.
Without further ado, guys, it's been a fun conversation, but it's time to wrap this up. So I'm going to throw it to you guys, and I'm going to say, where can people find your work, and where are you hanging out most? So Linda, start off with you again. Where can people find you, and where can people see your work?
All right. Well, basically where I do all my stuff. I am a YouTube gamer. I do Let's Plays. I do Minecraft tutorials and stuff like that. I do Minecraft builds. And so you can find my YouTube. My screen name is Splenda MG, spelled with an I, not an E. And I also post my videos on MinecraftForum.net. And you can find them there. As far as what I play on there, I play a variety of games. I've got a couple browser games on there. My biggest thing I'm doing now, I do Skyrim highlights. I've just started playing Skyrim. I know I'm such a turtle when it comes to playing games. I'm really slow at getting up and catching up. that's just been recent. I'm normally on top of things. Anyway, a lot of Minecraft. I think I just posted a video for Fear today. Yes, I've never played Fear before, and I'm just now getting around to that as well. But, and I've got old school stuff on there too. I am a huge fan of my Super Nintendo RPGs. Right now, I think Earthbound is the one I have going on. And if you haven't played it before or any of that, you should go watch it on my channel. I'm hilarious, if I do say so myself. And
you don't say.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that's about it, I guess.
Can people follow you on Twitter?
Yes, same screen name, Splenda MG, spelled with an I, not an E. And that's my screen name for basically everything. So, yeah. Oh, and I do Left 4 Dead, lots of Left 4 Dead stuff on my channel, too.
Wow, like, you're really busy.
Really, really cool mods and stuff. I don't have a job. I've got nothing to do. Come on.
I'd love to be in your situation. I'd love to be able to just do what I want, but I can't.
I'm just waiting for school to start in the fall again, and I can get back to doing stuff. But you know, it's fun having free time, but it's no fun being broke.
True that. Tron, over to you, buddy. Where can people find you?
For his Twitter, I'm on Twitter. Twitter page name is 1208 at 1208. That's actually spelled out 12 T-W-E-L-V-E 0 Z-E-R-O 8, like the number 8. For his gaming, I don't do any editorials or anything like that. This is more so a hobby for me. for just a standpoint of doing the podcast and everything. I do, you know, doing a lot of online and talk with a lot of gamers online, things like that. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's the name. And for, you know, games playing, obviously 3DS, and looking forward to the upcoming Castlevania game on 3DS. And that's pretty much it, man. Just looking forward to, you know, doing these podcasts with you guys and talking about gaming.
Same here, man. I'm enjoying it as well. So, guys, you heard it there. If you want to talk about gaming, hit up Tron at 12-0. Hope I got that right. Samuel?
Hey, well, for the most part, I'm trying to find my way back into the YouTube scene, just like Linda. But I cover a little bit of the Together to the Top movement by Athene Wins, and I do MMO news and a couple of little random tidbits of information here and there. A little bit of comedy gaming, because I got a couple of friends who are dorks, so I like to edit together some funny videos of us playing games and just stuff like that. And that is .com/MekBeasy, MekBeasy. And that's really, I mean, all the more the social networking I can do with fans and people. I never quite got into the Twitter thing, but I really want to try to get more into the Twitter. And because I know there's so many of my friends, and actually the three of you specifically have Twitter accounts that I could contact you on. So other than that, I mean, outside of that, that's most of what I have going on in terms of available media and press stuff like this and journalism, but I like covering news, anything PC gaming whatsoever. So just my YouTube account.
All right. Yeah. Our goal for next week is to have you 50 followers on Twitter. We can do it, guys. Get him 50 followers.
Hey, as soon as we finish here, I start an account.
All right. Well, I suppose myself, I am currently writing news for a website called bagelgames.com, and I'm involved in a podcast or two with them. And my Twitter handle is just at Mitch Concannon, all one word. And currently I'm playing Red Dead Redemption because my girlfriend picked it up and she's been playing it. And like, I was watching her skin and animals and I was just like, oh man, I could really go for some of that right now. So I'm playing that at the moment. So, but if I'm not playing that, I am playing through Mass Effect 2 on the hardest difficulty to go back and get the final platinum on that game, because I got in late to the Mass Effect scene, I'll be honest. My friends were always telling me, get it, get it, get it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. It's good, and I'm looking forward to playing 3 soon. But that's it for me. So, guys, without further ado, it's time to wrap it up here. And we want to thank shortandsweet.com. Or sorry, you can, Tron, you know the site, don't you?
ShortandSweetGameReviews.com. It's coming courtesy of ShortandSweetGameReviews.com. So definitely hit ShortandSweetGameReviews.com up, man, and get your game review fixed. You need it.
Absolutely, guys. It's been a pleasure having this podcast with you, and hope there's more to come. And I can't wait for next week, and I can't wait for the new news and the new talks and the new Watchdog trailer, whenever will be released. Oh, God, I can't wait for that. Man.
All right, guys.
All right, man. You guys enjoy, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I'm going to make my way out of here and go watch some hockey.
See you guys next time.
All right.
Good luck.
American, you're a racist. We brought up from the beginning to think in generalizations. We never look at the individual. We rarely look at the individual. I'm a racist. I know I'm a racist. You know how I know? The other day I caught myself being racist against myself. There's so much shit going on, I got mixed up. Forgot whose team I was on and shit. One time I was reading the paper, man, this story came on about this guy was suing a department store because they wouldn't let him play Santa Claus, you know, because he's black. And I was actually, like, relieved when the department store beat him. That's bad. But I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for the idea of a black Santa Claus. Man, that shit would suck. So we wouldn't get our presents till the 28th, 29th. Caught up with some pussy in Vegas. I had to sell some toys to get back. Shit. Where them cookies at? God Y'all a great crowd, man. You are. I'm glad y'all came out, man. I'm nervous. I am. Not about the special. I hope this shit don't make me famous. Dick, I don't want to be famous. I want people to like me for who I am. Like, famous dude don't never know why people like them. That's why, like, if I ever make it, I'm going to have to, like, test people. Like, if I meet girls, I wear disguises when they first meet me. So they don't know who I am. And then, like, on the first date, I'll call myself, I'll pick you up right from work. And then I'll pick her up in a fucking garbage truck. Just to see how she reacts. And she's like, wait a minute. Oh, do I look like garbage to you? I don't see no goddamn trash need to be picked up here. Get that goddamn truck off my block. Who do you think you are? That's when I take my mask off. David Chappelle. That's right, bitch. Thank you. Thank you very much.